Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start it up. That would be your Wednesday right here on B&E. It'll be a beautiful day in the ATX today ahead of an Arctic blast that's on its way. Be ready. Thursday into Friday and into the weekend. But we've got a lot going on. Talking Texas hoops. Frustrating last night at the Irwin Center. A game you felt like the Longhorns were going to finish off and get a win. Instead, go cold and take the L. Disappointing to say the least. We'll hear from Chris Beard coming up. So some sad news, breaking news here. We'll get you that here coming up in our headlines. But, Buck, before we get to the headlines, can we get to the B&E fact of the day? Get these folks thinking, percolating on get that brain percolating on a Wednesday.
B&E fact of the day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years, providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
Found this interesting. The Arizona Cardinals are out of the playoffs after their disappointing performance against the LA Rams on Monday night. They were the last unbeaten team, right? Remember, they were 7-0.
Right.
So there's still only, this is an interesting factoid. The last team to win the Super Bowl that was the last remaining unbeaten team. Can you guess who that might be? Because every year there's a team that's the last to take a loss in the NFL. And, of course, we always talk about threatening the 72. The 1972 Dolphins is a perfect season. But who was the last team to be the last unbeaten and then win the Super Bowl? Could you think of that? I'll get you the answer, and we'll do that here coming up after our headlines. But you're headed off to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You get a chance to actually not have to fly to Philly and then drive from Philly to Bethlehem, which is only about an hour drive. Not a big deal, but, you know, who knows what the weather's like back there. It's always a chance of craziness at any given time in January, February, March, April, and May.
I'm looking tomorrow. So, 80% chance of snow, high of 37, low of 12 for you tomorrow.
Low of 12?
12.
Nice.
Next day, high of 23, low of 10.
Yeah.
Next day, high of 27, low of 9.
Yeah, I've got my hoodie. I got my hoodie. That's my winter coat.
Your hoodie?
Yeah, my hoodie. And a couple of scars. I should be bringing my Revenant jacket with me.
Oh, the Revenant jacket. You said that the other day. You watched that movie, and you said something that I think we can all relate to. You get really cold when you watch that movie.
The first time in the theater when that came out, I was freezing because it was all snow and wetness in that movie. It made me so cold in the theater.
Yeah, no.
I was freezing. And now I watched part of it on TV because I just get intrigued every time I see a part of it. Like the bear scene. You don't like watching the bear scene, but
It lasts too long.
Yeah, it lasts way too long because I'd be too dead about 12 times over in that scene. But even watching it on TV, it just made me. I was sitting on the couch. It's warm in the house,
shivering.
But I'm shivering like I'm there.
Yeah, that Leo DiCaprio. That's one of those films I've said I watched it once. I don't need to watch it again.
I watched last night part of the basketball game. I didn't watch the entire basketball game, which because
frustrating.
There was a documentary about Jack Nicholson, and I think it was called A Man Named Jack. Good Lord. You're talking about a guy from Columbus, Ohio, and played basketball, and Woody Hayes was a really good friend of Jack's dad, Charlie.
That's true.
And Woody Hayes told, Jack wanted to play, he asked Jack's dad if he wanted to play football at Ohio State, and Woody Hayes said, no, your son's different. Don't let him come anywhere close to this sport.
Yeah, we grew up in Columbus. And,
yeah, I said, don't let him come anywhere near the sport of football, period, ever.
Yeah, and because he was a football player. He was like a 3 or 4 sport star in high school.
I didn't realize how close the Nicholas family was to Woody Hayes. I mean, when he went to play in the Masters and he was playing against Arnie, and Arnie's army was following him around, when Jack would get ready to hit a ball, they would stomp on the ground. I mean, there were thousands of people stomping the ground, and you could feel it. And Jack said, I could feel the ground all around the greens move. And he said his dad was ready to fight everybody around that was with Arnie's army. And Woody Hayes was the guy who who held him back to get in all these individual fights.
Well, Jack's dad played at Ohio State.
Yes.
Played football there.
He was a football player.
Yeah.
And a baseball player.
Yeah, before opening a hardware store.
But it had all different people that were coming in common. It had Jerry Rice and Roger Federer about being the best, about being the greatest, you know. And he had just talked about in the at the highest point of any of sports that he was at his best when it was like the Masters and the majors. And he was the one who made people really think about the majors, not you know. And then later in his career, he was just thinking about winning. I mean, and for Jack Nicklaus, he, as many times as you know, he won the Masters. That dude came in second and third place. It's incredible the numbers that Jack Nicklaus has.
He and Tiger Woods, the greatest of all time,
wow,
without a doubt. And that debate rages. He'll, you know, Tiger will never catch Jack Nicklaus now as far as the 18 majors
no.
won. But obviously, the two best that ever played. Hey, let's get to the headlines, the trending topics of your Wednesday morning, including that disappointing end to the Longhorn game last night. UVO Business Services brings it to you. And yeah, back Texas basketball, extremely frustrating loss for the 23rd-ranked Longhorns at the Irwin Center last night as they go ice cold late and lose to K-State 66-65. Timmy Allen's layup at 3:32 mark puts Texas up by 5, 65-60. That was the last point Texas would score. Wildcats finished the game on a 6-0 run. Marcus Carr scored 19 of his season-best 25 points in the second half, but his potential game winner with 2 seconds left rimmed out. Courtney Ramey misfired on a potential go-ahead jumper late. Longhorns missed some free throws down the stretch, and they fall to 13-5 on the year, 3-3 in Big 12 play for head coach Chris Beard.
Yeah, the message doesn't change. This is life in the Big 12. After 6 games, we're 3-3. We just got to keep fighting. It's disappointing losing at home again in front of such a great crowd. This is year one. We're building this thing. A lot of work went in tonight, so I want to thank the fans again. I want to apologize for the outcome. I promise you our guys are trying hard to win at this level of competition. Nights like tonight happen, but I hope that everybody came to the game tonight. We'll come back. These guys need you most after disappointing games like this.
Yeah, Longhorns will be back at home on Saturday hosting Oklahoma State. That game set for 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon at the Irwin Center. Other games in the Big 12 last night, busy college basketball night. Fifth-ranked Baylor went to Morgantown and top West Virginia 77-68. Seventh-ranked Kansas held off a late rally from Oklahoma in Norman 67-64. Lubbock last night, 18th-ranked Texas Tech pulled away from Iowa State 72-60. Texas football news, and although there has been no formal announcement, it does appear and is being reported that former TCU head coach Gary Patterson has already begun working in his new role as the special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian. Patterson's been working at the football facility since last week, was in attendance last night at the Texas basketball game alongside athletic director Chris Del Conte. Also from Texas football, according to Horns 24/7, today senior kicker Cameron Dicker did submit his name ahead of yesterday's deadline and has declared himself eligible for the NFL draft in April. NFL does provide underclassmen entering the draft 3 days to change their minds before it becomes final on Friday, but all indications are that Dicker will stay in the draft. And the former Lake Travis Cavalier made 60 field goals over a four-year career, which surpassed Phil Dawson for the most all-time made field goals in Texas football history. Very, very sad news coming in this morning. A tweet last night, former KVU sports director and sportscaster Mike Barnes revealed that legendary Texas and ESPN broadcaster Ron Franklin has passed away at the age of 79. Franklin worked as a sportscaster in Houston and then called Houston Oilers games during the Love You Blue era of the late 70s and 80s. He then moved to Austin in 1983, became the voice of the Longhorns, and then headed off to a 24-year career and run at ESPN with most notable assignments, Saturday primetime college football games, also called college basketball.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, we get them on the Specs text line, and thank you so much for all your thoughts, when good or bad, when they come in. They're all good to me when they come in, because that means you are paying attention to some of the things we talk about, and that they think that Chris Beard needs to do less marketing and more coaching. I don't understand why you can't do both. I mean, he has to, as I say, set this place free when it comes to. I mean, were there 11,000 there last night? That's a nice crowd. If that were true, there were 11,000 that showed up.
Well, you know, Chris Beard, I don't know the exact numbers. It was a decent crowd, at least on television. But you know, Chris Beard has been consistent, and
yes,
he believes that home attendance helps win games.
Well, but you can't stop that message for...
No, I don't think so.
Not around here you can't.
Well, Chris Beard, since he's gotten here, has taken a very holistic approach to this program and the job he's got, and it's all phases. And look, it's fair to say that a team that started in the preseason top 10 through 18 games is underachieving a little bit right now. They're not playing to the level that maybe we expected, or even, you know, experts expected out there for this basketball team. So that's a fair conversation. But I would also say Chris Beard has been consistent in his message that, you know, our biggest enemy is time. Like, we haven't had a lot of time together as a basketball team. When we're playing against really good teams in the Big 12, mm-hmm. who a lot of them are veteran teams that have been playing together for a long time with the same coach, and we're trying to put this thing together on the fly and in real time. I wouldn't call that an excuse. That's just what they're dealing with. But last night, I mean, the excuse is they didn't make shots. I mean, you say what you want about, who scored, who didn't, mistakes made, but in the end of the day, you have a 5-point lead with 3 minutes to play. You need to win that game. I mean, Timmy Allen goes to the foul line and misses a couple of free throws. You don't execute offensively, and you know, that's college basketball, but at the same time, you got to win that game at home when you have a lead. And you give the Wildcats credit for coming in here and stealing a victory, which is what they did. This whole season will be judged on the entirety of the season. Where is this thing? As Chris Beard has said, we want to be our best in February and into March, right, and peaking at the right times. And clearly right now they're still trying to find their rotation, still trying to figure out who are the go-to guys in crunch time. And continues to be a work in progress for the Longhorns.
Zay, that whole thing about, and I mean, I know football coaches do it, but they do it at brief periods, and basketball coaches can't do it either. You can't put a guy as a substitute to make a point for a long period of time. It's one of those, you're in there for a minute and a half now, get out. If you're not in there scoring, or you're not D'ing somebody up and you become a liability to teach somebody, to get somebody else cranked up, how long do you do that? I mean, for football coaches, they do that stuff throughout the season to people. You know what I mean? You as a receiver, you come out of there, I'm going to stick another receiver there to run this route the right way. You can get away with that. Basketball gets glaring pretty quickly, doesn't it? They do attack you.
Yeah, it really shows in basketball. And it's not as much as Tristan Ollie-Lacombe getting minutes. It's really about the psyche that he gives to players like Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones, who feel like they're on a short leash. Whenever they make a mistake, they feel like they might be taken out the game, which in basketball, rhythm is everything, especially for offensive players like a Ramey or Andrew Jones. And when you're doing all this substitution, you can't say on one foot, hey, we're trying to be consistent, we're trying to figure things out.
And honestly, I've only seen it done twice. I saw it done last night, and then at a game, one other game.
But
before.
He's been doing it all season, though. Okay. Tristan Lacombe has started games. Like when they were playing these Ruthie Poots early on, non-conference games, he was starting in games. He was trying to figure out the line. Marcus Carr didn't start in a couple of games. Devin Askew did. So all that's fun and stuff, keeping players on a short leash. I get that. But go back to this Texas baseball team with Coach Pierce. One of the best things I think he did, which took his team all the way to the College World Series championship, was trust them and say, hey, this is the lineup that we're going to have the whole season.
Yeah,
and
once he got to a point, confidence. He did. He just said, that's it, we're
that's
done.
That's it. And that gives guys confidence to know, hey, if I go on a bad streak and go, 1-for-20 hitting, I know my coach has confidence in me. And he's not giving that vibe off. Coach Beard just doesn't give that vibe off when he's playing guys like Tristan Lacombe. And you're going to see what happened last night where you go in droughts like 3 minutes and 30 seconds without scoring.
There's no doubt you watch it closer than I do. I've seen it twice. And I've seen it where it just hasn't worked. You know, when guys come in, what do they add to it? No, they get attacked, but they don't put any points they don't put any balls in the bucket, but they're in there.
Oh, he was guarding Smith last night, who was Kansas State's best player. Tristan Lacombe was. Timmy Allen was basically on the other side helping because he knew Tristan Lacombe was such a mismatch, which he was guarding Pack, who was on the other side. They throw a swing pass, bam, 3-point ball, just because Timmy Allen was trying to make up for the lack of Tristan Lacombe. And that stuff just can't happen. There's little things like that. I get you're trying to make points and stuff, but this is the Big 12, baby. You can't be playing the walk-on.
Isaiah Collier, the chairman of the Tristan Lacombe fan club, Coach's Corner brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. It's avconsultations.com. Our buddy Tom McKay and his crew.
I just know, E, and thank you, I just know it's done a lot in football. But you can get. I just think you can get away with it.
Well, we'll ask Chris on Friday what the rotation's about and what he's trying to find. Look, I'll just – look, Chris Beard, his track record tells you, you know, it's a long season, right? I mean, when I say his track record, the year they played for the national championship, Texas was about a 500 team in Big 12 play when they hit February. And then they played their best basketball down the stretch, and they ended up making a run at a championship. But they were a 500 team in the Big 12 through the month of January. They're 3-3 right now. I'm not saying this team's going to the national title. I would agree with those who say they're not achieving to the level I think maybe a lot of us expected when they put this roster together. But it doesn't mean it can't change. But, yeah, those are fair questions. And I appreciate that Chris Beard will come on this show every Friday and answer questions candidly. And we'll ask him that question on Friday morning. But at the same time, this is a long season, and it's life in the Big 12. And I felt like this was a game you should have finished and won, and you didn't make buckets. And Marcus Carr had 25 points. You know, Timmy Allen had his 15, but then
you can't miss two down. You can't miss two when they're free.
Yeah, they can.
And you need them.
Well, and they really need these guards to get in rhythm together. I mean, I think that's Zay's the basketball expert, but I watch this team, and one night it's Andrew Jones who's going off and putting up 22 points and really bringing the energy. And but what's Ramey and Marcus Carr doing at that point? Then last night it's Marcus Carr with 25 points, but Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey go cold and just give you, gosh, Ramey and Jones combined last night for 10 total points, and they shot.
And to me, that can't happen between those two guys in any game, whether it's Kansas, Iowa State, K-State, TCU. Between those two guys, they can't have 10 points if they're playing in the games, if they have enough minutes.
No, not at all. Andrew Jones had some really – I'm sorry, Courtney Ramey had some really bad plays defensively where his man went down to make a screen on the big and he ended up running into Trey Mitchell himself, and that gave
Kansas
State a big – a nice little dunk, which I knew probably drove Chris Beard crazy, but you got to let guys play that out.
Let's hear from Chris Beard. We talk about the guard play, but he wants more from his bigs. Trey Mitchell, Dylan Dessou. Dylan Dessou only played 7 minutes last night. Mitchell had a bit of an off night in 11 minutes, and those guys sat next to him a lot. That's the key parts of your front line. Here's Chris Beard after the game last night.
Yeah, film doesn't lie, and I know this. You said consistency. Yes, those guys got to be a lot more consistent, as do all of our players. And I think with those specific guys, I'd like to see more of an urgency, you know, a competitive spirit. I thought K-State came in here tonight, and they turned the game into a street fight, and we're willing and able and capable and more than excited to be in a street fight. But we had some players on our team tonight that looked like they kind of got punched in the face a few times. We got to be a lot more aggressive. There needs to be an urgency to everybody that plays for us in this league right now. I mean, you can't come in and get warmed up. You know, when you come in the game, you got to be ready to roll.
Well, that's
and that I noticed about the Big 12. You know, as I said, I watched a little of that Oklahoma-Kansas game, and Kansas generally is the team, Zay, that just has better talent. They just will out-talent you. And, you know, as good a coach as they have, they just have talent when they get the court. Last night, they were in a street fight with Oklahoma. And they were up to it. They were junkyard dogs. I hadn't seen Kansas play like that. I just seen them out-talent you and win games. But, dude, they were in such a street fight last night. And it looks like they've got that kind of team this year that they'll be in a street fight with you, too, to win Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of different for them to me.
Oh, they're so tough. Ryan Brown is one of the toughest players in college basketball. And he's kind of their leader. He'll dunk on you, hit threes. Everything.
And they were on the floor a lot. I generally don't see that team have to get on the floor. They just have so many great athletes. A tip ball, they grab it. Somebody, you know, comes through the air, grabs the ball. Their balls are going on the ground. They're diving on the ground. You don't see a lot of that from them. But I guess this probably is a junkyard dog kind of league this year, you know? There's not a lot of finesse teams in this league, is there?
No, not at all. And we're playing walk-ons out here.
Well, that's what I mentioned last hour. I mean, Kansas was 62 all with Oklahoma, and the kid hits a three. Texas has a lead, and they miss shots down the stretch. I mean, and then that's – I mean, obviously, if they win this game last night, Marcus Carr makes the shot with 2 seconds left. We're having a totally different conversation. But that's what happens when you lose. And now the Longhorns are 3-3. They've got back-to-back Big 12 losses. And as they said, they've got to beat Oklahoma State on Saturday. That's a huge game now. Their next three games, it's Oklahoma State, TCU, Then they play Tennessee in the Rick Barnes return game mm-hmm. a week from Saturday. These are games you got to start piling up some victories because as we talked about, you hit February.
Wow,
that's when you hit the meat of your schedule. Texas has not seen Baylor yet. They have not played Kansas yet. They have not played Texas Tech yet, and they're going to see them twice in the month of February and into March. So, but as I said, Chris Beard's been here before with Texas Tech teams that were about 500 in the first month of the Big 12 season, and they hit their stride, and they're playing their best basketball in February. We'll see if they can get this team to that point. And the great part, of I think, for our show is we're going to talk to Chris Beard every Friday yes. and talk to him about it. And as they cited David Pierce comes on our show every week during the baseball season and talks about the development of his team. And the thing I would say to Zay on David Pierce was in year four and had a roster of guys that he had recruited and developed and built, and he understood that this year, and he had his best team. By the way, Texas baseball preseason number one, according to D1Baseball.com. Wow. First time
good stuff.
Kendall Rogers and the team over at D1 Baseball have had the Longhorns at number one. So David Pierce's team's challenge this year is going to be dealing with high expectations as the number one team in the country after their run to the College World Series a year ago. I mean, we can debate it. I just watch Chris Beard and feel like he's still trying to figure out who he's got and who are his money people when it matters the most in crunch situations. You just heard him, I want to say call out, but he challenged Trey Mitchell and Dylan Dessou to be tougher, to play with more urgency. We need you all the time, every possession, or we're going to put somebody else in there. That becomes kind of what I think we're watching here, but to Zay's point, that may or may not be the right direction to go with this current roster. Longhorns did drop it last night. We'll take your thoughts on it. Also coming back, we will continue the hoops conversation. We'll also get into the Longhorn football conversation. Gary Patterson was at the basketball game last night, taking it in with Chris Del Conte. No official word from UT, but it certainly looks like he is on board and serving the role that Steve Sarkisian needs him to do. Also get into the Cameron Dicker story. And yes, rest in peace to our friend Ron Franklin. Word that the 79-year-old legendary broadcaster has passed away. I know Ron Franklin's, I know his son listens to this show or has for quite a long time. We get texts from him quite a bit. Rest in peace to Ron.
Yes, and, for sure, and the family.
Thoughts and prayers to the family. One of the greats, and a great person. Ron Franklin was a great, great guy on this show many times, talking college football and basketball. Sad to hear that story this morning. We'll be back, B&E, with you. Zay Collier will lead us through the Hot or Not topics before the end of the hour. It's a busy Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Wednesday, dragging you up over the hump, looking forward now to divisional playoff weekend. Also looking back at last night's disappointing Longhorn basketball loss. K-State gets them at the gun, 66-65. Longhorns squander a five-point lead late and lose on their home floor. Good conversation. Appreciate everybody weighing in on that. Good debate. Also, Buck, we mentioned on the way to the timeout the passing of Ron Franklin. We had a little bit of audio of this. This is a TV broadcast from ESPN. You were part of this. You were on the sidelines. Can we hear this, Zay? Ron Franklin calling a Texas football game back in the day?
His ability-wise, the other thing is he's really intelligent also because he's wearing the number of his running back coach, Bucky Godbold, who was a receiver at Boston College. Now, that was his jersey, so here's a smart player. Ricky Williams says, I'll wear your number in honor of you. So, you obviously going to play the guy, right? Smart move.
Well, it's smart, but probably ability had something to do with it, too, doesn't it?
I don't know if that's Ron or not. I thought that was going to be Ron Franklin when CB sent it to us. That's you. That's talking about you, though. Thank you for that right there. But I don't believe that was Mike Gottfried, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know if it's honoring me, but it was a nice thought.
I thought that was going to be Ron Franklin.
Time.
My apologies there. But Ron has passed at 79. If you're a Longhorn fan, you know he was the voice of the Horns in the 80s. If you're a Houston Oilers fan.
We had him on this show for years. He was such a good guy.
Yeah, and you know I grew up in Houston, so he was a local TV guy at KHOU and then one of the other stations down there in Houston, and then he was did Oilers games, Love You Blue, then voice of the Longhorns, and off to ESPN, an absolute legendary voice, and as you say, great person who has passed away. We're talking Cowboys as well, Buck, as we get into the Longhorn situation. We'll get back to that, but let me mention, because I teased it on the way to the top of the hour, that the Cowboys have a healthy list of free agents that they now have to look forward to. Let me ask you this real quick. I mean, we know the Cowboys have some salary cap, you know, work to do because they're over the cap as right. is. They're very offensive heavy. But let me name some of the guys that, that jump off the page when you look at who their free agents are. Randy Gregory is a free agent. Is he a guy that you make a priority and try to bring back? He had a rough game on Saturday, on Sunday, with all the penalties. And
yeah, but he's been pretty solid for them. Yeah, I mean,
and they've given him how many chances?
Right.
But I was watching some replays of that game. There were like three times it felt like he tackled the wrong guy. Like he was getting offensive holding calls, and the one time he tackled George Kittle he didn't have the ball.
I mean, we can break it down on those guys. I mean, his trying to time up snaps is kind of ridiculous. He's
lining
to
up
me.
Offsides?
Yeah, I mean, just dead up lining up offsides and stuff. That would drive me nuts, and especially in real crunch time, and you're in the playoffs, and that guy is just flat out trying to time up a guy's snap. If you don't know it, just settle your ass down and wait for the ball to be snapped and go get him.
Well, they have to figure that, you know, Jerry Jones has been very loyal to
hard
him.
Hard to get big guys, so it's hard to...
Pass rushers.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know what his value will be on the open market if they let him get there, which I think they will. If they can't get something done, that'll be interesting. How much loyalty does Randy Gregory have to the Cowboys?
I keep hearing about the kid from Georgia later on in the draft, the defensive end, the big guy. Georgia has a kid that they're looking at, possibly.
Well, that may be, then that's draft to replace a guy that's going to cost you now in free agency.
Right.
But we'll see. That's a name to watch. Also, your receiver position, we know you're good with Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, and we've heard talk of maybe Amari Cooper being available or even released as a cap casualty, because here's why. I mean, they got Cedric Wilson as a free agent. Michael Gallup is a free agent. As is the tight end Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz can play at a lot of places. That guy has a lot of film, and so does Cedric Wilson. Both of those guys have film and really productive film that a lot of teams would be interested in. Now, nobody's going to be interested in Dalton Schultz as being at the end of the line for your run game, but that guy in space is pretty good, and he's done some really nice things with the Cowboys and what they do offensively, unless they're just going to change what they do. And if Mike McCarthy's coming back, guess what? They're going to have the same kind of offense. It's not changing up. So I don't think you can – and Dalton Schultz is going to want to make some money because that guy's only a hit and a half away from not being around.
Well, that's right. I mean, they're –
you know?
But the question is the Cowboys, you know, how much can they afford? And
I can
which
part
guys
ways with Michael Gallup. I'm still of the opinion that I can pay Cedric Wilson less than I can pay Michael Gallup. And
hurt his knee. He's going to be coming off a knee injury.
Yes.
MCL or ACL tear, so that may limit his value on the open market if they were to
get
there.
And the other thing is Dak's not going anywhere, so Cedric Wilson and Dak seem to have a rapport, you know?
Well, that the argument could be they're going to try to cut or move on from Amari Cooper and re-sign these two cheaper alternatives.
Both of them.
And CeeDee Lamb becomes the go-to guy with Cedric Wilson and Michael Gallup.
And I'll just say this. I was expecting more out of CeeDee Lamb for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, he did not have the year.
Oh, he's inconsistent with his hands at times. I mean, still.
So those are your key offensive guys. They've got, obviously Connor Williams is a free agent. The Longhorn, he's probably going to move on. Defensively, in addition to Randy Gregory, they've got to figure out Leighton Vander Esch at linebacker. Jalen Smith was released. This is another former first-round draft pick in Leighton Vander Esch. What's his value on the open market? What do the Cowboys put a value on him? We know they have Micah Parsons, but, that one becomes interesting to me.
I think they're good together.
I think he
had a decent year. He didn't have any health problems, and Michael Parsons really helped. He's really helped him out at that position. I think that's a good one. I don't know what kind of contract you give him though. Do you break the bank?
They don't have enough money to break the bank on any of these guys.
That's
really
true.
They're going to have to be very, very creative.
I want Kearse back.
Yeah, Jayron Kearse, the safety, is a free agent. He was a 1-year deal guy that was brought in on the advice of Dan Quinn. Keanu Neal is a free agent. DeMonte Kazee, the other safety, is a free agent. Malik Hooker, all these 1-year guys they brought in to help Dan Quinn. And that's the frustrating part of this season. The defense outperformed the offense, and they were paying fractions on the salary cap on their defensive side of the ball versus the offensive side. This is why I'm advocating try to keep Dan Quinn and maybe move on from Mike McCarthy. This guy got more out of less on that side of the ball. He did more with less. And the other way with Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy on offense, they did less with more. That's where you're spending all your money. Yet your offense, when you needed it, couldn't put more than 17 points on the board.
I just can't pay a lot for Dalton Schultz, but there'll be teams that would. Somebody's going to pay some money for him because that guy makes catches.
Well, that's the frustrating part for the Cowboys. These are guys, when you look at him and Vander Esch, these are guys you've drafted and developed, and now they're hitting free agency, but can you afford to keep them? Or can you get into the draft and replace them with cheaper young talent? But you better hit on those draft picks. So the Cowboys are going to have some holes to fill.
Yeah, they got for sale signs for Connor Williams right now, today, probably.
Well, I think he's played his last game as a Cowboy. I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think that'll be, you know, good luck on the open market. He got terrorized on Sunday by that defensive line of the 49ers. That was not pretty. We'll see. I don't know, man. We just throw them out there, let people know these are the guys that the Cowboys do not have under contract. And some of them are key guys that are important to what they do, but they've already, you know, signed the big tickets with the quarterback and the running back and Amari Cooper. How much can you afford?
Yeah, I like Cedric Wilson, but my key guy is Dalton Schultz. I mean, that's the guy that
well, can Blake Jarwin fill that role becomes a question. Blake Jarwin was hurt this year.
He's a better blocker, but he's not that great a blocker. Let's not get too carried away about him being a devastating at blocker at the point of attack. Neither one of them are.
No.
But we know Schultz can get out and catch, and Dak likes to find him, and he finds ways to get open. He's pretty good one-on-one against linebackers. He really is.
Yeah.
Now, once again, he's just a big hit away from sitting on the sidelines and being concussed. He's a lightweight.
Tight ends like George Kittle are so hard
Absolutely.
To find.
I mean, well, he's
so
just rare. A maniac.
Well, he and Rob Gronkowski, you know, even Travis Kelce, these guys that...
Maybe Kittle's bigger than I think. Maybe he weighs more than I think. For some odd reason...
Not really. He's just
I think of him as a 230 guy, too.
He's probably 235, 240, yeah, George Kittle, but he's a tremendous blocker. I mean, he blocks like a fullback
or
an
bulldog,
offensive lineman.
Yeah,
yeah, and but guys that are that, you know, tenacious with their blocking and then also are that, you know, dangerous receiving.
Catch and run, yeah.
Those guys are so valuable. I mean, they are, but they're like unicorns. I mean, how do you mean to ask Steve Sarkisian? They're looking for one at Texas. They bring in this Jaleel Billingsley guy. Can they get him to block and be that guy? Because when you get him, you disguise things. You can run the ball, but then you can run play action, and are you running? You know, those guys are just so valuable to both aspects to keep you.
Yeah, and it's hard to find big people. So when we talk about guys jumping off sides and all that stuff, I mean, that's I'd like to say that's stuff that you can stop, and that's stuff that you yourself and your coaching staff, you know, I don't know, there's something that you have to do, but you can't keep trying to time up snaps to get the jump on guys, but. You also, it's hard to find a big man like that either can rush the passer.
Yeah, Randy Gregory, of all those names, yes. will probably be the most attractive because everyone's got the ego. You know, he's
right.
And look, I wonder with Randy Gregory because he is a quick twitch pass rusher.
He is.
Who can do what teams need, put pressure on quarterbacks. But he's also had how many strikes against the substance abuse situation?
But he made it through this year, correct?
He did.
Right from the get.
I mean, how much loyalty does he owe Jerry Jones for sticking with him? I mean, most teams would have cut that guy loose long ago and not given him this opportunity to get the free agency off of a pretty solid season.
Well, he's going to think about that, but he's also going to think about what he can make on if
I know.
If somebody says, okay, here's what we're going to pay you.
Well, and these are the decisions the Cowboys have to make. But these were role players, but they were key guys to a
yes.
team that you know outperformed, as we say, their paychecks on defense. Now, offense, not the case. Long Cowboys moving into free agency now. Divisional weekend on tap in the NFL. And we mentioned in our headlines, the Longhorn news is that Cameron Dicker has submitted his paperwork to enter the pros. That according to Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7. He did that on Monday. So it does look like Cameron Dicker will not come back for a fifth season to handle the kicking duties at Texas. Remember, the Longhorns did sign Will Stone, the place kicker from Austin Regents. He's part of the 2022 class. They also, back in 2021's class, signed a punter. Who's named Isaac Pearson. I think he's one of those Australian kids who's coming in. So it looks like the Longhorns have replacements ready, but it looks like Cameron Dicker is indeed a former Longhorn.
Yeah, I just when I look as I said, I don't know enough about kickers to how to evaluate them except for it goes through the uprights from 30. You know, every once in a while you'll hit a 50, but you're not going to hit many 55 yarders and stuff like that. So the kid that's coming in, you know, I don't know that much about him. I don't care what level you play. All you're doing is, hey, put it down, kick it.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's nobody in the stands or there's 100,000. Put it through the uprights. That's your job. Go to the other field. Don't talk to anybody else and just kick.
Well, good luck to Cameron. He leaves the University of Texas as made the most field goals of any kicker ever, past Phil Dawson on that K-State game with 60 made field goals. Phil Dawson had made 59, and of course Phil Dawson went on to a 21-year NFL career. We still see Justin
Just
Tucker.
Just make the kicks, Dicker. Make the kicks.
Well, good luck to him.
Yes, for sure.
Also, as we've said, I anticipated UT would announce at some point Gary Patterson as his new role, but it feels like they're just going to, because Gary's showing up to work every day.
I still like this hiring a lot, and I like it for.
And he was at the basketball game last night.
Yeah, I like it for the linebackers, not just for the whole defense, but that guy knows how to coach these undersized linebackers into players.
That's the role. I remember, he can't be on the field coaching. He's an analyst. I mean, he's a special assistant to the head coach.
He can watch film and say, "Hey, come into my office, check this out for yourself."
Yeah, that is what we have not heard from Coach Sark or Coach Patterson on what that role looks like and how it's being used. Now, remember, Steve Sarkisian is busy. You see him every day. He's out recruiting. Remember, the dead period ended this week, but winter workouts have begun at the 40 acres for the football team. That started this week.
Yeah, that's the coaches running that deal.
Yeah, but the coaches are out on the recruiting trail here, making this final push for the February signing day and for next year and building the recruiting class of 2023.
I've been around head coaches that did the winter workouts. They were there with just the training staff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
And they ran it and screamed and hollered.
Well, I wonder when things settle down on that front if there will be. I mean, maybe the next time we hear from Steve Sarkisian is on February 3rd, which is National Signing Day Part 2. Longhorns are still on the running for this five-star offensive guard, Devon Campbell, from Arlington, among others. So, we're watching that, plus other transfer portal targets, including O'Shawn Mathis, the defensive end from TCU, Gary Patterson, there's a connection there. So we're following those Longhorn stories, Cowboy stories as well. We come back. Isaiah Collier leads us through the topics we've missed halfway through this Wednesday edition. It's a Hot or Not Wednesday on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on a Wednesday where it's going to be hot today, but not tomorrow. Here comes the cold, Arctic blast, and be ready. Tomorrow could be some slippery conditions if the forecast is accurate. Light precipitation, temperatures in the freezing area tomorrow morning for your morning commute, so be advised of that. 77 today, though, so enjoy it, at least for one more day. Also hot, Buck. How about Isaiah Collier last night doing KBVO television?
Homer.
For the Bowie Bulldogs, win over the Austin High Maroons in high school basketball. His father, of course, coaches the Bowie Bulldogs.
Dogs got to win.
And they beat Austin High. And you were telling me, Zay, that the head coach of Austin High is a former coach that coached under your pops.
Yeah, Brad Ingram coached under my pops for maybe 10 years. Now the coach at Austin High does a great job there.
All right.
How'd you do with your homerism last night?
That's going to be tough calling a game of your dad's. Were you too critical or what?
I showed them love. I thought I showed them love without being a homer. I have to go back and watch it. Didn't get a chance to because I was watching Texas basketball. But, yeah, I thought I did a decent job.
All right. Good stuff last
night. I'll be the judge of that.
And say, are you hot on this trade that's come down this morning? Three-team trade involving the Spurs, the Nuggets, and the Boston Celtics. Spurs are going to send Bryn Forbes, the guard, to the Nuggets. They also are going to acquire Juancho Hernan Gomez in part of this deal. Also involved in this, the always popular Bol Bol and PJ Dozier.
There's a couple of those you can do without, right? Blockbuster trades.
Yeah, I don't know about this one. Bol Bol, I'm still fascinated with what he's going to be. He has an injury problem.
There are people out there saying there's a basketball player named Bol Bol. Yeah, that's it. B-O-L-B-O-L.
That's Manuk Bol's son. Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. Bol Bol.
Bol Bol.
It's awesome. And then tell me about this Juancho guy. Juancho!
Spaniard. He could shoot that thing. That's it.
That's what he is. Thank you. Brief
shooter
report.
Big man.
Shoot the rock. 6'9", stretch 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't play much D, I think.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Zay, what do you have for us in Hot or Not? Things we've missed halfway through this program.
All right, E, sent you another video for Hot or Not. Ryan Fitzmagic was at the Bills game this past weekend.
I think I saw this.
In the stands, shirt off, Bills Mafia going crazy. Now, it's confusing because we know he's a nut. That's not confusing. But it's confusing because wasn't he on the football team this year? Shouldn't he be more, I don't know, representing the Washington football team?
He was on the Washington football team this year at the beginning and then lost his gog.
He's been on every damn team as a quarterback at one time. He was a Bills quarterback at one time, I believe.
And I'm not going to shame the guy's dad bod, but it feels like since he didn't play this year, he's been doing a lot of tailgating.
With Bills Mafia?
He doesn't have the... Because, yes, he's remember, it was like 0 degrees, so he's out there with his shirt off and his Ryan Fitzmagic beard. But he's sporting the dad bod. I mean, he's a little rounder than you would imagine an NFL quarterback being. Just going to say.
I think he was rounder when he was actually playing NFL quarterback. Yeah.
That dude... That guy's out of Harvard. That guy made a lot of money.
And he'll be still because somebody will be in the market for I think at one time he was with the Bills. As I said, I think he was with every single team in football.
No, Texans, Bills. Yeah, but he was there rooting for the
Miami.
Bills.
Miami.
Part of the Bills Mafia. I don't think there's any loyalty to Washington there. He's a hired gun, Ryan Fitzmagic. And I would say that...
keep your shirt on.
Whenever there's a photo, a bad photo of me and my dad bod, I say, that's a bad angle. It's a bad angle.
Maybe it's a bad angle. This one is dead straight ahead of Ryan. It's dead ahead of him. There's no side.
Bad angle.
Yeah.
Bad angle of my receding hairline and my dad bod.
No, I never got guys taking off all their clothes in frigid temperatures, like 6 degrees there.
I'll tell you what that's called, alcohol. It's called alcohol.
Can you get very sick and very hurt doing that?
I will say this. The coldest game I ever went to was it was the last game, I believe, that Bill Belichick ever coached of the Cleveland Browns. And it was a playoff game. It was New Year's Day, and the Browns played the Patriots in a playoff game. And I went with my buddies. I was up there visiting. I was in college, and it was freezing. I mean, it was dang cold.
I've been in cold games, coached in cold games. I mean, Illinois was the coldest place ever in my life, but
and that was back in the old Cleveland Stadium, right there on not the one Baker Mayfield lives in.
Oh no, he didn't.
The old Municipal Stadium
by the river, like right on the river,
right on the lake, cold as can be. But yeah, there was some alcohol consumed that day, and I believe the Patriots won that game. They won, and Vinny Testaverde was a quarterback.
Man,
think about that, and they won, and then Belichick. I don't remember. I think that was his last game. I got to look that up. But that's the coldest I've ever been in a football game.
Gosh, keep your clothes on.
We'll get you your forecast. You're going back east to Pennsylvania this week, and it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold here, and we'll tell you how cold it's going to be at Lambeau Field on Saturday night for the Packers 49ers divisional matchup. Could be one of those snow games, which is always fun. All those details coming as we get you up over the hump and look forward now to the divisional weekend. More on the Longhorn situation. Tough loss last night for the Horns. Bad loss for the Longhorns, let's be honest about that. At K-State, we'll hear from Chris Beard as the Horns fall to 3-3 in Big 12 play. That's coming back. And our headlines on B&E.